ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Read from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, 6th chapter, text 17. Maybe we can put this a little down. You hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, speaking louder. But the kirtan you heard? Yuktahara Viharasya Yukta Chetasya Karmasu Yukta Svapna Avabhodasya Yogo Bhavati Dukkaha Yuktahara Viharasya Yuktahara viharasya Yukta cetasya karmasu Yukta cetasya karmasu Yukta svapna vabodhasya Yukta svapna vabodhasya Yogo bhavati dukkha Yogo bhavati dukkha Yuktahara viharasya Yukta cetasya karmasu Yukta svapna vabodhasya Yoga bhavati dukkha Yukta, regulated. Ahara, eating. Viharasya, recreation. Yukta, regulated. Cheshtasya, of one who works for maintenance. Karmasu, in discharging duties. Yukta, regulated. Svapna avabhodhasya regulated sleep and wakefulness. Yoga practice of yoga. Bhavati becomes dukkha dukkaha diminishing pains. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. He who is temperate in his habits of eating, sleeping, working, and recreation, can mitigate all material pains by practicing the yoga system. You know? Huh? Okay. Purport. Extravagance in the matter of eating, sleeping, defending, and mating, which are demands of the body, can block advancement in the practice of yoga. As far as eating is concerned, it can be regulated only when one is practiced to take and accept prasadam, sanctified food. Lord Krishna is offered, according to the Bhagavad Gita 9.26, vegetables, flowers, fruits, grains, milk, etc. In this way, a person in Krishna consciousness becomes automatically trained not to accept food not meant for human consumption, to which is not in the category of goodness. As far as sleeping is concerned, a Krishna conscious person is always alert in the discharge of his duties in Krishna consciousness, and therefore any unnecessary time spent sleeping is considered a great loss. A Krishna conscious person cannot appear to pass a minute of his life without being engaged in the service of the Lord. Therefore, his sleeping is kept to a minimum. His ideal in this respect is Srila Rupa Goswami, who was always engaged in the service of Krishna and who could not sleep more than 2 hours a day, and sometimes not even that. Thakur Haridas would not even accept prasadam, nor even sleep for a moment without finishing his daily routine of chanting with his beads 300,000 names. As far as work is concerned, a Krishna conscious person does not do anything which is not connected with Krishna's interest. And thus his work is always regulated and is unattained, untainted by sense gratification. Since there is no question of sense gratification, there is no material leisure for a person in Krishna consciousness. And because he is regulated in all his work, speech, sleep, wakefulness, and all other bodily activities, there is no material misery for him or her. Yukta hara viharasya, yukta chetasya karmasu, yukta svapnava bhodhasya, yoga bhavati dukkaha. He who is temperate in his habits of eating, sleeping, working, and recreation can mitigate all material pains by practicing the yoga system. Om Agyati Maranyasya Ganaanchana Salakyam Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmashi Gurave Namaha Si Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Anchakalpa Drubhyasya Kripa Sindabhyevacha Patitanam Pamnevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Ganadha Shivasadi Gora Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So again here Krishna is giving further instruction to Arjuna how to become a yogi. A yogi means somebody whose consciousness, his activities, behavior is connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, to make Krishna's plan or program his program. This is yoga. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is a well-wisher of all living entities. So he has a program for the conditioned souls in this material world who are suffering due to bad lifestyle and bad habits of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, and activities also. Because living entities in the conditioned body, in the conditioned world, they don't know, they don't learn how to control senses, controlling mind, controlling the senses. This is not taught nowadays anymore in any school. So it's not possible. And even if the teacher is a little strict, you know, the children are so spoiled nowadays. If they don't like the teacher, his strictness and his demanding of discipline, then they can change him and go to another one. More comfortable one for them. I also know to my time when I was in school, we had two classes next to each other with the same class with me, two classrooms. And somehow or other I received a teacher who was more strong, who was more strict. So he gave you knocks on the head and on the ears, taking on the ears if you do not proper. And one of my friends, he got the other teacher and he told me how sweet, how nice he was. And I thought, oh, also would be nice if I could go to this class. But somehow other, because we were already given to this teacher, to this school, to this class, classroom. So I had not the opportunity to change. So I had to surrender. Anyway, there's two ways to surrender. One is by danda, and the other one is by love, affection. So I don't know this other teacher. So it seems to be that he had maybe more love, more affection. The other one, he was more a danda man who wanted to punish. That was maybe also a little his pleasure, I don't know. It's his problem. But anyway, nowadays you cannot do this anymore. If a teacher would do like that, and can report him in police, and he will get a penalty, punished for that, or a warning. So it is. So the children or the disciples, pupils, they're misusing their freedom of not to surrender. If they don't want, and then this way become ruined, because if you don't follow a certain discipline in school, therefore school is very good, although nobody likes to go in school. I didn't like to go in school. Others I know don't like to go to school. They even ready to give up their family connection and even go to somewhere to hide themselves, so only that they don't have to go to school. Even on the cost of loitering on the street. And then later on, they're, of course, regret. I missed the opportunity of training. Srila Prabhupada used to give a story of one boy. He grew up with his aunt. Auntie. And auntie, she was a little greedy. And this boy, he always, just to please his auntie, he started to steal different things for maintenance of the family. So later on, he became captured by the police, and they brought him before the court. And because he was a criminal and acting in so many different ways, at that time it was very strict, the laws, like sometimes today also in Muslim countries, very strict, death sentence, if you are stealing or do something illegal. So they sentenced him to death. So when he was, they asked him for the last desire. For last desire. Meantime he was already a little younger man. So he asked to see his auntie. So they called the aunt to come. Your nephew wants to see you. He's on the tanga. He will be punished to death. Oh. So she came, and the boy asked her, please put your ear more near to me. And then what he did, he bit off her ear. Never heard the story? Well, you heard about it. Prabhupada told the story. He beat off the ear of the aunt. And of course, everyone like you were horrified, were amazed how this boy can do that. Because normally, if somebody is sentenced to death and he has a last desire, he maybe asks to get a nice feast. His favorite preparations to eat. The last meal. But he beat off his aunt's ear. They asked him, why you did that? Then he told, because it's of you, of her, that I'm here. She never rectified me that I did something wrong. She always encouraged me and thought, this is all right, this is nice, it's all right what you're doing. And she accepted all the money without asking how he did it. So that means the teacher ultimately, or the parents, or any authority, Gurur na sasyat, na chani na sasyat, like so. This Bhagavatam verse in the 5th canto describes one should not become guru, teacher, father, mother, husband, wife, a demigod, worshipable demigod, if you cannot deliver your dependence from the cycle of birth and death. Therefore, ultimate success in life is to conquer that cycle, repetition of birth and death. But for that, we have to follow a certain process to purify ourselves, to become capable, qualified, and powerful enough to conquer that. And also we have to be convinced or know what is going on after that. Because the people are nowadays not knowing what is going on after that. Mostly one is afraid of that. Therefore they maybe ignore that and say, anyway, there's no that. Or there's only one life. And then whatever belief you have, you know, you go to that God whom you are following, your national religion. But this is all based on the bodily concept of life, because it is based in ignorance, in avidya. And there is a saying, ignorance is not protecting you from punishment. If you do a sin consciously or unconsciously, we will have a reaction for that. That's karma. Karma is not a belief. Karma is it's given by God. From the beginning of the creation, there is karma. So it's a science, it's an experience. Karma, according to how we act, according to that we earn, we get different results, or also different positive results or negative results. And according to our karma, especially if we link it up in yoga, in connecting it with the Supreme Lord, then it becomes karma without reaction. And this is actually what Krishna is teaching here in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna wants to teach Arjuna and all those in the future who follow Arjuna's example as the ideal devotee, disciple of Krishna, to accept Krishna's guru and follow his instruction. So after all, Bhagavad Gita was spoken on the battlefield, not in a schoolroom, not in a yoga room, or in a temple. Bhagavad Gita was spoken in Kurukshetra by Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead. It was short before the battle of Kurukshetra. Prabhupada told, this battlefield is still there. You can see it. It is there near New Delhi. It's Dharma Kshetra, Kurukshetra. So that means this is not an imaginable place. Like some interpreters of Bhagavad Gita say, Bhagavad Gita is just something that we can interpret according to our demand and understanding. It's all symbolically. No, Kurukshetra is not symbolic. It is there. So it was a real battlefield. And Arjuna was a Kshatriya. And Krishna is the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Guru, Jagat Guru. He came to teach the world how to become free of karma. But free of karma doesn't mean to stop activity at all. Something because karma is bad, so we have to stop karma, any activity. But that's practically not possible. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in Sri Bhakti Aloka that the living entity, the conditioned soul, can never stop to act, to eat, to sleep, to defend, to act in different way, because he has to maintain himself, his life. He's dependent, he's conditioned by the demands of his body and his senses. So therefore he needs food, he needs water, he needs breathing air, he needs a peaceful life. Some reasonable activity, dharmic activity, who is not against the laws of the material nature, sinful acting, stealing, or in any criminal way to get money. Also sleeping, recreating. So Krishna here recommends and should not do it too much, not too less. Because if we do it too much, like the materialist, then we become entangled, we become diseased. Frivolous lifestyle, eating whatever you like, going in restaurant and eating all kinds of food, whatever your tongue is dictating you. It's clear, you know, one will with the time. Just eating yourself diseased. Maybe not 1 year, 2 years, 10 years. But suddenly one is surprised, 20 years, you know, you're diagnosed, you have some incurable disease. Mostly comes because of bad lifestyle, of wrong eating. And of course also the mind. Not satisfaction in the mind. Not properly situated. So this is all important. Properly situated in a certain activity of people whom you like. You feel accepted and beloved, and you also love the people around you. Proper maintenance of food, healthy food, offered in the best way. Best thing is, as Prabhupada says, that what is offered to Krishna, Mahaprasadam, Krishna Prasadam, that sanctified food. Then also it is important relationship, mental satisfaction, that one is mentally satisfied, not always greedy and always thinking I need this and I need that, and ultimately never satisfied, always demanding more and more. So there's a principle, it's called Atyahara. You heard about Rupa Goswami's teaching of Upadeshamrita. The third verse, it's a negation. That means six things, six items that we should not accept, but we have to reject. In case you became accepted to it or addicted to it, you have to reject it. And the first principle is Atyahara. The second one, Prachalpa. Prayasa. And the second one is Prachalpa. The third one is Prachalpa. The fourth one, Nyama Agraha. And the fifth one, Janasanga. And the sixth one, Janasanga. Atyahara Prayasa Cha. Prachalpa Nyama Agraha. Janasanga. Lauliam. Too much greediness for certain sense objects or needs, what we think, what we need. So we can start with Lauliam. You see, internet nowadays, the whole city's market is built up in this way. Propaganda boards, advertisement boards, everywhere. They program you what you need. And so much consummation is given to us. It's pushed upon us through media, so that ultimately, although we only see it maybe for a glimpse of a second or short time, maybe we even forgot it, but in one point it come back. That's a trick of propaganda, reklam. You maybe forget, but in your mind you already accept it. And then one point, if you need it, then it reminds you. Oh yes, I saw this board, this reklam. Oh, this is very good, I heard. It's very much recommended, it's popular. It's in trend. And then automatically everyone has to buy it. If you want to be in or accepted in a society, you have to buy this car, this mobile phone, this TV set, this house or lifestyle, this kind of dress, and this kind of parfums and things for showering. And this kind, what you should eat, and in which restaurant what you should go, and which movies you should see. Nowadays you don't have to think anymore. The program is given. You just have to follow. But then the people say, you know, if a devotee comes to them with a book, take this book, gives you very nice guidance, how to become happy. How to become peaceful, how to make your life perfect. But people say, no thank you, I don't need this now, you know, because I have my own way of self-realization. And because I don't know this book, and this book didn't come to me on the own accord, you came to me, therefore I will not buy it. I will only buy it if from within it comes. But you know, people buy all the time things, you know, but from program from outside, and then it comes inside, and then the demand will come. Yes, I need this, I need that. So therefore, in the same way, the propagation of Krishna consciousness is the same. Therefore, Prabhupada told we should distribute books. Somehow or other, people have to hear about Krishna. Therefore, he was so much into distribution of books. And also Harinam. He desired the world Harinam Sankirtan party, who is traveling all over the world. Of course, nowadays we have so many devotees all over the world that everywhere Sankirtan is going on. So what is the power, what is the use of this loud chanting on the street and distribution of the books, the louder kirtan? This is actually a propaganda. But Prabhupada told, because the devotees, my disciples, if they follow the regulative principles, four regulative principles, and they follow the sadhana bhakti of liberation, of freedom, means principles of freedom, they free you. People nowadays think, yes, our principles, they make me happy. But actually they don't make you happy, they only make you a slave, they make you more greedy. They make you more crazy. Nunam pramata kurute vikarma yat indriya pritaya aprinoti na sadhu manye yat atmanoyam asan apikleshata asadeha. Rishabhadev, he says, people are going mad for sense gratification. I need this, I need that. And only if I have this and that, then I will become happy. I'm satisfied. But it's not like that. You become crazy. You become more and more mad after it. Pramata. Pramata means sufficiently mad, more than enough. Not normal madness. You become mad, completely mad. Therefore, everyone is mad in this material world because everyone is running after a hallucination, after a Fata Morgana, or fulfilling their dreams and all their desires, you know. And then think, then I will be happy. But they will not be happy because happiness is not in fulfilling the senses, satisfying the senses and the mind, but actually to control them. And not only controlling them, but don't giving them anything. Like a prisoner, don't put the senses and the mind in prison and dry them out. Then of course, then they will revolt. Then they will become enemy. And they will make a lot of problem. So therefore, we have to follow the positive program given by Srila Rupa Goswami and by our Srila Prabhupada and the previous Acharyas. Following the positive program of sadhana, sadhana bhakti. Hearing, chanting, remembering Krishna. Hearing, chanting, remembering is a basic thing in conditioned life and also in spiritual life. But instead of hearing nonsense, kramyakata, prachalpa, you hear about Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Or you go to a sangha and have Krishna kata. Srinvatam svakata Krishna punya shravana kirtana. Ridyantak subhadra nividunoti suritsatam. Because regulate the chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra and also participating in Krishna Katha classes, then will purify the mind and the heart. And only with the purified senses, knowledge will appear, real knowledge. Not knowledge about sense gratification, how to become more materially successful. This kind of knowledge is actually avidya. It's ignorance because it is based on the bodily concept of life. It is temporary. Therefore, Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, he gives us transcendental knowledge. In Bhakti Yoga, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Vairagya Vidya Nicha Bhakti Yoga, Shikshate Kapurusha Purana, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sarira Tarir Kripambodir Yasam Aham Prabhadye Sila Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. He prays to Lord Chaitanya, oh, you are very, very merciful because you teach us the process of Vairagya, Vidya, knowledge, and Yoga. Renunciation, Vairagya, Vidya, knowledge, transcendental knowledge, knowledge about Krishna, knowledge about activities who deliver us from the cycle of birth and death, who liberate us. This is Vidya, that's Paravidya, transcendental knowledge. Material knowledge is Aparavidya, it is ignorant. Because it is just based on sense gratification. But the devotee of Krishna, we learn how to engage the senses in Krishna's service. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandha Yuktam Varagya Ujjate. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, he engaged us in hearing, chanting, because we have tendency to hear, so hear about Krishna. You like to speak about Krishna, meet with devotees or go to the people and tell them about Krishna. So in this way, your speaking capacity will be engaged. Shravanam kirtana, smaranam, to remember. Because you hear about Krishna, you speak about Krishna, then naturally you remember Krishna. Like if you always contemplate and hear and speak about material topics, then also in your mind, in your remembrance, only this thing will appear. It's only garbage. So like in a computer, garbage, sometimes we have to clean garbage can. empty it out. Otherwise, it makes the computer slower and break down after some time. So we have to purify it from garbage and from viruses. Because if you tolerate the virus in the computer, or all the garbage accumulated everywhere in the system, what will happen with the computer? The computer will break down. And you always have to go to the Dukan, to the, how we say, electronic shop, ask, oh, please, can you help me? I have this problem again, that problem. And then he is doing this for you and says, okay, for so and so much paisa, it's a cost. So now your computer is clean. And you go home again, fill it up again with all kinds of things, because we don't have the knowledge how to purify the computer, how to maintain the computer in the mode of goodness. It's easy to be passionate, to build up something. The building up skyscraper, like here in Vrindavan, you see, so many houses are built, but to maintain them, it's not possible. Because people who are in passion cannot maintain a building. They ruin only. Therefore, in the material world means passion and ignorance. Passion means creating shopping centers, cities, skyscrapers, hospitals, this, that. And in the end, destroying it. You cannot maintain it, so we will destroy it. So that we can build up again, so that we can again destroy. That's the material life, means creation and destroying. And therefore, this is in the mode of lowest mode of nature, Rajaguna and Tamaguna. So that we cannot never live peaceful and in contemplating on the Lord in the heart and acting in harmony with Him if we live in circumstances of too much Rajaguna and Tamaguna. So we have to come on the level of Sattvaguna. And Sattvaguna is under the control of Lord Vishnu. Vishnu is in Sattvaguna. He's the deity or the Ishvara of the Sattvaguna. Rudra is the Ishvara, controller of the Tamaguna, ignorance. And Lord Brahma, the creator of universe, is in control of creation, and therefore is in the Rajaguna. But amongst the three Guna avatars, there's only one deity who is in the mode of goodness, and that's Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu is an expansion of an expansion of an expansion of Lord Krishna. Govinda Madhipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. So Krishna is the supreme Ishvara, supreme Vishnu. The origin of all the Vishnus is Krishna. So therefore Krishna is never in contact with the material nature. Even Lord Vishnu, although he is in charge for the material modes of goodness, he is not influenced by the mode of goodness of the material nature. Because he is always in Param, transcendental position, Vishuddha Sattvam. Sattvam Vishuddha Vasudeva Shaptitam. That's the statement by Lord Shiva. Actually, although Shiva is in charge for the mode of ignorance, the living entities were too much conditioned by the material nature of darkness, that's his mercy. He himself is not in the mode of ignorance. He's actually a transcendental personality. He's a great yogi. He's actually the greatest of all the yogi. Mahadev. He's Yogeshwara. He's the master of all the yogis. All the yogis meditate. You see here in Vrindavan, so many Shaivites with matted hair locks and with a very special tilak, you know, of Shiva. And with a trident and kamandalu. Almost naked, only dressed with a little, they're walking around. Even they come to Vrindavan. So Shiva is actually auspicious. But out of mercy is taking care for this lowest mode of material nature, although himself is transcendental. He's never happy for those who are worshipping the tantric way in the mode of ignorance, offering him animals and skulls and ashes and crematorium things, you know, untouchable things, you know. Shiva actually don't like that. That's only external, his external mood. But he is always in transcendental position. Sattvam Vishuddham Vasudeva Shaptitam. Why? Because he himself always meditates about Vasudev, Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Therefore he is always transcendental. Huh? Like somebody who has an extra sense. A doctor who is curing psychic diseases and very unsubtle platform curing people's diseases. They have this power to cure, but they also know I absorb all this karma, all these diseases practically of these people in myself in subtle form. It's there. And therefore I have to do something that I will not become victimized by the diseases of my clients. So therefore he himself has to follow a certain sadhana, certain program to going in contact with material nature, either with the water element, with the fire element, with the sun element, with the tree or forest elements, or earth element, so to purify themselves. And if and those who are very, very much devotional of them, they become, they're devoted to the Lord. That means they're engaged in devotional activities. They follow a certain practice to purify themselves. So like with devotees, they come in contact with so many people and with the material nature. So the mind becomes is absorbing all these things consciously or unconsciously. Our senses become influenced ultimately by that. And we are forced to act in a certain way, even we don't want it. Because we are in contact with this material nature. And therefore it's very important that we take shelter in this process of surrendering to Krishna, to the process of Krishna, to the process of sadhana bhakti, hearing, regulated hearing, chanting, remembering Krishna, associating with devotees, hearing Bhagavatam, chanting the holy name, only eating Krishna prasadam, no bhoga or untouchable food. You should never think, oh, I'm transcendental to it. Therefore, I also can sometimes make compromise and I can eat this. No, then naturally our consciousness becomes polluted. Especially if you eat grains prepared by non-devotee. This is karmic food. Therefore, Vaishnavas never eat grains prepared by karmi. Because the karmi is cooking this food, you know, in a certain consciousness, not favorable, not in the mode of goodness. And therefore, in that kind of bread or chapatis made by karmi, it's karmic correction. It's polluting our mind. Therefore, we have to avoid eating food prepared by karmi, by materialists, vishayi. We have to only be satisfied and happy with Krishna prasadam and with the devotees of Krishna, even if they don't behave sometimes so properly according to your estimation. So still, the association of devotees is better than any other association. Like Bhagavatam, 5th canto says, if somebody is a devotee, naturally has many good qualities, all the good qualities of the demigods and Vaishnavas, or of the Supreme Lord himself in small quantity. But sometimes maybe a devotee has not this quality, but he has the faith in Krishna. Because he has still some pollution, some unripe stage, then maybe his character are not always perfect. But still, it is preferable to associate with a devotee who has faith in Krishna, even although his qualities are not always perfect, or his behavior, than to associate with somebody who is non-devotee. Because a non-devotee is only riding on the chariot of the mind, of sense gratification. Manuratena. This is called Manuratena, the chariot of the mind. And if we are situated or take shelter on the chariot of the mind, we are very unsafe situation. But if we are taking shelter in Krishna's lotus feet and in the association of devotees, then our life is saved. It will become perfect. It will take time, but we have to be enduring. We have to be patient. Daryam, patience is needed. So there are six negative principles, six positive. Negative is too much greedy, eating, too much accumulating of material things, of possessions, although we don't need it. And this is atyahara, and it becomes a fault, and it can pollute our mind and make our devotion to Krishna and our faith in the devotional process weak. Therefore, this atyahara, prayasa, prachalpa, nyama agraha. So that we have to follow. That means we have to give it up and follow the process of pure devotional service, positive process, utsahan, be very enthusiastic, nishtaya, taryat, be patient, endeavor with confidence, tata, karma, pravartana, sangot yaga, give up bad association with non-devotees or people who are attached to impure activities and has to give up sangat yaga shatovrite and follow in the footsteps of the sadhus, sadhu vritti. So this is the recommended process, and this is in every yoga scripture. The acharya, under the guidance of acharya, gives us these vidhis, that means these rule is called vidhi. And the regulation is called nishada. That means don'ts, certain things that we should not do. Then we should really not do it. We should not overeat, we should not oversleep, we should not overreact or overacting. So we have to learn how to regulate this by the regulations of the yoga process. And every yoga process has its sadhana. And the purpose of sadhana is the same. It's to make the mind and the senses purified, stable, so that they can be fixed on the supreme truth, satyam param dhimahi, to become absorbed. Otherwise we cannot absorb. We can become dragged in this direction, that direction. In so many different ways we are distracted. And with a distracted mind, we cannot engage in yoga. Then we are a boga. Then we are in sense gratification, in distracted. Enjoying this, enjoying that, enjoying, like a child. But we have to learn how to train that for our own benefit. In the beginning it is difficult, but with the time it becomes nectar. It becomes relishable, because you see, the mind and the senses become satisfied because they get something much better than what they get if you follow the instinct or the nature of the material, of the materialistic mind and the senses. So we don't have to give up mind and senses. We just purify them, nirvanda Krishna sambandha yuktam varagya, to engage them in service of Krishna. This is yoga. And so it's our choice to engage in yoga or in boga. And according to that, we accept shelter in different teachers who give you guidelines, how to make your life materially successful or spiritually. But materially successful is not possible, because in the end is old age, disease and death. So it will be miserable, and therefore it leads to lamentation. But Krishna conscious activities will lead to liberation. It leads to ananda, to supreme happiness, paramananda, satisfaction, transcendental knowledge. And becomes more and more attracted to absorb one's mind in the books, bhakti literatures, Vaishnava literatures, and then also make other people aware about it. This is actually the responsibility or duty of a devotee, to go then out and tell people about it. And by following this process, you are already saved. And if you save others, then one can receive Guru and Krishna's special mercy. And that will make our life perfect. We cannot make our life perfect on our own. But if we can somehow or other please Guru with seva attitude, with surrendering, and then Guru will be pleased, and then he will bestow all blessings, all mercy upon us. Yasa prasada bhagava prasado, yasa prasada nagati kotopi. So if the spiritual master is pleased, Krishna is pleased, and if Krishna is pleased, you know, then life will become perfect. Hare Krishna, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki. So any question maybe?
No. So Arjuna, we believe that he had a lot of control over his mind. But once he visited the heaven, Indra asked Rupasi to entertain Arjuna. And Arjuna had so much of control over his senses that he could resist the temptation of enjoying the company of Rupasi. So that Arjuna, who could resist the temptation of enjoying the company of Rupasi,
Sharanagati, you mean?
It's not a question, it's just
A comment, thank you very much. But I want to make a comment to you. He's not Mayapati, because Krishna is not married to Maya. He's Mayisha. He's the controller of Maya. So he's not married with Maya. He's only married with the, or how say, related in loving exchange with the higher Maya. That means with the spiritual energy, with Radharani. But in the material world, Maya, it's a conditioning.
There are two types of Maya. One is Mahamaya, and another is Yoga Maya.
Yeah.
Mahamaya is Yoga. And Yoga Maya is.
But Yoga Maya is Krishna's sister, so he's not Pati. He's not Maya Pati. He's not the.
He's Maya Pati.
No, he's not Maya Pati.
No,
but. Pati means. Yeah, okay, if you see it as a master, then it's okay. But Pati also can mean husband. So it's confusing. So Isha is better. Anyway, maybe you read it somewhere, so you have maybe higher information about this Maya Pati. And the other thing about the illusion about Arjuna, the same Arjuna who was not bewildered by Urvasi. Listen, Shuna now. Because Arjuna, he had control, because he was Kshatriya. He was a self-control person. But then before Arjuna, he said, I'm not under control. My mind is very chanchala. But that's, we should not forget, Krishna put him in this illusion. That the Bhagavad Gita could be spoken. He put him in this bewilderment. Arjuna is not bewildered. Narayana Rishi. Krishna and Arjuna, they were on the battlefield. Narayana and Nara. So they're the topmost of living beings, you know. They're in the always in transcendental position. Narayana Namaskritya, Naram Chaiva Narottamam, Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Chayamudirayat. But because Krishna put him in this illusion to speak, because he was his friend, he was very intimately related with him, therefore Arjuna was bewildered. Seemingly, so that he could receive the Bhagavad Gita. And that's for our purpose. Because maybe we will not listen to Krishna. Arjuna had faith in Krishna. That he accepted him as Guru. But we conditioned souls may not accept him. We don't know who he is. We don't have a relationship with him. Therefore, maybe we will ignore his instruction and say, who are you? Who tell me? So you will reject Krishna. Therefore, Krishna chose his devotee to speak Bhagavad Gita. And then through the devotee, we can learn. And we are ready to learn because he speaks to Arjuna, not to us. That's a trick. But actually, he speaks to us through Arjuna.
I surrender to you because I am a disciple. So please teach me.
Yes. That's the point. But Arjuna is not conditioned soul. He's only put in this situation, in this mood, so that we can learn through him. For example, also Lord Chaitanya said, I'm a sannyasi. I cannot, even if I think about a woman, even about a doll, my mind will split in 1,000 pieces and I will become bewildered, you know. So that's Lord Chaitanya saying. But because, why Lord Chaitanya is saying that? Because Lord Chaitanya is fully under self-control. He's in Vairagya, Vidya, Nitya, Bhakti, Yoga. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's the Supreme Brahmachari. There's no better Brahmachari than Krishna, than Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna himself. So why Krishna tells that? Because he wanted that his devotees are following this principle, especially the sannyasis. Because there were certain sannyasis who are deviating from this principle of Lord Chaitanya and started to intimately speak with women. then Lord Chaitanya became very unsatisfied. He rejected that particular sannyasi, who was an associate of him, Chota Haridas. He rejected him. And he told him, you know, that he told, if I think like that, you know, I think about a woman, then I will become bewildered. So he also will have to, what to speak of him. So he should not do that. No associate of my devotees in the future, from now and in the future, should do like that. Otherwise, you become destroyed by Maya. Mama Maya, Duratya. Then Maya, then you are under the influence, victim of Maya. That's the law of karma. Then you come under police department, Durga. Then you are imprisoned. Or Ramananda Roy, for example, he was very great devotee, full as absorbed in rasa, in the relationship to Radha Krishna. He was completely absorbed in that. And even Lord Chaitanya was listening from him, learned from him. Then he sent one particular devotee, one brahmana, to learn about Krishna, Krishna Katha from Ramananda Roy. But Ramananda Roy, at that time he was busy training some dasis, devi dasis, dancing girls for singing and dancing for Lord Jagannath. And he personally massaged their body, dressed them, and showed them all kinds of figures and how we call these mudras, you know, how to act and how to schmink and decorate their bodies. So he personally did it. So when this brahmana heard about that, he became bewildered and he thought, how he can speak about Krishna Katha to me, how Lord Chaitanya can send me to him, because he's intimately connected with young girls. So he became bewildered and he went back to Lord Chaitanya, and then Lord Chaitanya, he rectified him again and encouraged him and told him, no, you should go to Ramananda Roy. I cannot do it. I could not do what Ramananda Roy is doing, touching women. Even if I think about women like that, or about a doll of a woman, then my mind becomes agitated. But Ramananda Roy's mind and consciousness is always pure, because he is absorbed in the transcendental Svarup, in his pure Svarup of eternal associate of Radha Krishna. Therefore, you should go to him, learn from him. He's completely pure. Yeah. Some other comment or question? Yeah?
Can you explain that six things that Rupa Goswami said?
Huh?
The six things Rupa Goswami stay away from, like Lodium and the six things. Can you give it like an example, like a similar name of in English?
Oh. Yeah, Lauliam, I told, it's greed.
Yeah. The other five?
It's what we had? Atyahara. Atyahara, the first one is, I explained, it's too much eating or too much accumulating of different things what you don't need. Too much money, too much possessions. That's Atyahara. And prayasa means over endeavoring for things difficult to get, to achieve. You over endeavor, you have a desire for it, and you over endeavor for it, and that will also ruin your devotional service, your bhakti, because then you're only engaging in this particular activity, and you have to make a compromise with your sadhana and with your principles, maybe. So just for the sake to achieve that goal. Therefore, one has to be careful that one will not over endeavor. Some endeavor has to be made, because endeavor is needed. No? And somebody had maybe more capacity for more endeavor without becoming bewildered and remain fixed. But for a conditioned soul who is very much over-endeavoring for things difficult to attain, it becomes an obstacle and will destroy his bhakti plant. Huh? Understand? You agree with that? So, pratyahara priyasascha prachalpa. The third one is prachalpa. Prachalpa means gossiping. Or gramyakata, that means village talks, speaking about unnecessary things not related to Krishna. Or books, about studying books not related to Krishna and speaking about it and thinking about it. Prachalpa doesn't mean only speaking outside, you can also in yourself think about this. This is also prachalpa. Internal prachalpa. And because of your internal prachalpa, external prachalpa also takes place. So that's not favorable for devotional service, prachalpa. Although prachalpa is not bad, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, also in Bhakti Loka, prachalpa is not bad, because if you use prachalpa means a lot of speaking. Pra. It's this emphasis of very much speaking. Prachalpa, speaking. So there's two ways how you can speak a lot. About Maya, about unnecessary things not related to Krishna, and about Krishna. So the prachalpa about Krishna is actually favorable prachalpa. So it should not be given up. Only the useless prachalpa not related to Krishna has to be given up. So that's the third prachalpa. Niyama agraha. To over endeavoring the rules and regulations. That means too much accepting rules and regulations or neglecting them. That's the two. Niyama agraha. That means too much following rule regulations for the sake of rules and regulations, and then you give more attention to your rules and regulations, and you even become proud of it instead of become purified. You become proud, oh, I'm brahmachari, oh, I'm chanting 64 rounds, not only 16, like you. Or I'm like Haridas Thakur, 3 lakhs, chanting Hare Krishna. I have this kind of sadhana. So this is actually expected of Mahaprabhu and our previous acharyas, that we should always chant. Of course, this is good, but if you do this in a wrong attitude, then instead that you become purified through the chanting, you become more proud. You become more proud and arrogant. And not merciful, and kind, and humble. So, like somebody who really chants Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, he will always remain humble, and tolerant, merciful. He's kripalu. So he's not criticizing others. He always sees other service much more bigger than my one. More bigger than my service, you know, my sadhana, or my devotion to the Lord. You know, they have much more devotion than I. Therefore, he worships them, or he serves the Vaishnavas. So, anyway, too much endeavoring for rules, following certain rules of sadhana bhakti, or also neglecting them, because from the too much, you go then to the neglect. Because you see, oh, it doesn't give me anything, so therefore I can also neglect to go on the other side and give it up, or even or do much less under the standard or under the expected following the rules and regulations, what is actually needed to become a purified devotee. You understand this, no? So it's Niyamagraha, Prachalpa-Niyamagraha, Chana-Sangha. Chana-Sangha means associated with worldly-minded people. Worldly-minded people association, Chana-Sangha. So Lord Chaitanya says, Asat-Sangha-Tyaga-Yavaishnava-Chara, Stri-Sangha-Krishna-Bhakta-Asadu-Ara. So to give up non-devotional association, and only associate with devotees, satsanga. So chana sangha, association with worldly minded people who have many desires and not pure habits. If you associate with them, then you also become like them. You accept their nature or consciousness. And if you associate with devotees, you follow the, you adopt the devotional qualities. So this is called Jhana Sangha, and then Lauliam, already explained, greed. That's the six negative things, negations we should give up. Nishada. And the other one is Vidhi, that means that what we should accept. Utsaha, Nishaya, Darya, Tatta, Karma, Pravartana, Sangotyaga, Shatovrite. These six things are favorable. That's Vidis. Enthusiasm, Utsahan, patience, Daryat, Tatta, Karma, Pravartana, following the process of hearing, chanting, remembering. Sadhana Bhakti, following this process faithfully. This is called Tata Karma Pravartana. Tata, step by step, Karma Pravartana. You're making progress, making this step. Don't make like Vamanadev, big step, because we are not Vamanadev. You should make small steps, step by step. In sadhana bhakti. Otherwise, we drop. If we imitate, then we drop on the nose. Then we fall. So, tata karma pravartana, sangotyaga, again, giving up association of any associate, sangha. People who are not. Who are maybe your relatives, or also sangha in yourself, of things what you are, certain thoughts what you are accepted, and you are associating in your thoughts, in the dream, and in your daily activities. You carry this sangha always with you. And you also associate with such kind of sangha. And this you have to give up. You have to detach ourselves from sangha. By associating with Sadhu Sangha. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoy. Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha, Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoy. Sarva Shastra Koi. All Shastra say, associate with Sadhu, with devotee. And then the last one is Shatovrite, Sadhuvriti. Follow the footsteps of the previous acharyas and also of the pure devotees, sadhu. Also follow acharya. So if you follow these examples or behavior of the liberated souls who are associates of Lord Chaitanya, or follow the process of bhakti under the guidance of the Lord Chaitanya Sampradaya, then if you follow their example as role models, then that make your life perfect. We need role model. In the material world, everyone has role models to make career, you know, which kind of success, I would say success, successful people, so-called successful, you know, movie stars, pop stars, politicians, managers. We try to follow their so many books and propaganda about them, and naturally you become like them if you follow that kind of vritti. Vritti means footsteps, following their footsteps or their mood. So you should follow sadhu vritti. And for Lord Chaitanya came 500 years ago, and he brought his devotees with him, who all acted as perfect acharyas, as perfect devotees. Some of them also showed something in negative way, like how we should not do it, like Chota Haridas. Or like Krishnadas, who was a personal servant of Lord Chaitanya, who became attracted to some gypsy girls. And Lord Chaitanya had to go and save him, you know, and chastise him. So even through these associates, Lord Chaitanya showed, be careful. So he gave us, he has some eternal associates, like Chota Haridas, Krishnadas, what's his name, the fault finder, the Ramachandra, Kavira, no, not Ramachandra, Ramachandra Puri, not Kaviraj. Kaviraj was pure devotee. Puri, Ramachandra Puri, he was natural fault finder. Even find fault in Lord Chaitanya and in Lord Chaitanya's devotees. Through him, Lord Chaitanya showed us, you know, that fault finding is not a good habit. Don't do it. You see the result, Ramachandra, Kaviraj, not Kaviraj, Puri. Ramachandra Puri. That's an example, you know, we should not be like him. And then, of course, he also gave the positive example, Raghunathas Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami. And so many others. Another example Lord Chaitanya also gave is Pundarik. Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Externally, he behaved like Vishayi. Like a materialist, but he was actually a very advanced devotee. He was he became the guru of Gadadhar Pandit, his father of Radharani, Rishabhanu, in eternal lila. Although externally everyone was bewildered, confused, how he can be an advanced devotee, not possible. And through him, Lord Chaitanya actually taught, we cannot only see from external behavior who is a pure devotee and who is not. Only another pure devotee can see who is a pure devotee. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we have so many wonderful examples, so many role models to do, how to do and how not to do. And Lord Chaitanya, to follow Lord Chaitanya means to not only follow him, to also follow his devotees in positive way. That's sadhu vritti.